मद अनुद्यान काम्यया यत्वहं भवतीनां वै दूरे वर्ते प्रियो दृशाम् मनसः सन्निकर्षार्थम् मद् अनुद्यान काम्यया यत्वहं भवतीनां वै दूरे वर्ते प्रियो दृशाम् मनसः सन्निकर्षार्थम् मद् अनुद्यान काम्यया प्रियो विषयम् मनसः सन्निकर्षार्थम् मद्यनुद्यान काम्यया यद्यहं भवतीनां वै दूरे वर्ते प्रियो दृशाम् मनसः सन्निकर्षार्थम् मद्यनुद्यान काम्यया यत्वहं भवतीनां वै वर्ते प्रियो दृशाम् मनसः सन्निकर्षार्थम् मदनुद्यान काम्यया मातजिस् यत्वहं भवतीनां वै दूरे वर्ते प्रियो दृशाम् मनसः सन्निकर्षार्थम् मदनुद्यान काम्यया वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन यत् द फैक्ट दैट टू However, aham, I, bhavati naam, from your, why, indeed, dure, far away, varte, I am situated, priyah, who am dear, drisham, to the eyes, manasah, of the mind, Sannikarsha of the attraction, artham for the sake, mat upon me, anudhyana for your meditation, kamyaya out of my desire, translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, but the actual reason why I, the beloved object of your sight, have stayed far away from you is that I wanted to intensify your meditation upon me and thus draw your minds closer to me. Purport. Sometimes that which is close to our eyes is far from our heart. Is far from our heart and mind. And conversely, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Although apparently going far away from the gopis, Lord Krishna was bringing them closer to Him on the spiritual platform. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः नमोम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो 47 chapter, the song of the bumblebee. So, in this chapter, Uddhava, the associate of Lord Krishna, he is actually meeting the gopis of Vrindavan. And earlier in this chapter, we discussed, different devotees actually spoke on the song sung by Srimati Radharani called as the song of the bee. Or Brahmaragit. So after Uddhava actually saw this exalted devotion of the gopis of Vrindavan, then finally he is actually reading out the letter sent by Krishna to the gopis of Vrindavan. So this, what we are reading is basically the, this verse is, it comes in the letter sent by Krishna to the gopis of Vrindavan. So, before we actually go into this verse, so today is actually the very auspicious day, Guru Purnima. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Sanatana Goswami. So, it's a very auspicious day. Sanatana Goswami is the eldest among all the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And Sanatana Goswami is actually the personification of humility. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he empowered different devotees to exhibit different qualities. And especially empowered through the example of Sanatana Goswami, he empowered him to exhibit the quality of humility to the greatest extent. Like once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at Jagannath Puri, so Sanatana Goswami was at a different place in Jagannath Puri. So, yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to meet Sanatana Goswami. So, he sent a message to Sanatana Goswami that I want to meet you. Then Sanatana Goswami, he was actually coming from near the sea beach to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was actually staying at Gambira. So, there is a shortcut to actually reach that place, which does not involve like walking on the hot sand. And there is a long route to reach that place by going along the, walking on the hard sandy paths of the beach. But Sanatana Goswami, instead of going through the shortcut, he took a long route, which means like his feet would be actually blistered, his feet would be like scorched by the hot sun. But when Sanatana Goswami arrived to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, did you take the long route or did you take the short route? So Sanatana Goswami said, I came by the long route. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, why did you actually come by the long route? Because your feet has been blistered by the heat of the sun. So Sanatana Goswami said, actually I was so eager to meet you that I did not even I could not feel the pain in my feet. Then he said, the reason why I came by the long route is that if I have to come by the short route, then in that particular route the servants of Lord Jagannath, they would be actually going to perform their service to Lord Jagannath. They would go by that route. And in case if I touch them, then they would become contaminated and they would not be, but when a person is going to serve the Supreme Lord, one has to go in a purified state. By touching me, they would become contaminated. So I didn't want to contaminate them, so that's why I came by the long route. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he said that you are the supreme acharya of all the Vaishnavas. You are such an exemplary Vaishnava, but still you are actually following the Vaishnava etiquette. And this Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. And this way Mahaprabhu was very pleased with Sanatana Goswami. So there are so many wonderful pastimes of Sanatana Goswami. And tomorrow in the Sunday feast class, like Damodar Prabhu will be describing in great detail about the pastimes of Sanatana Goswami. So on his request, I am just stopping here. And especially, I just want to mention one thing, that we can actually understand, we can enter this pastimes of like Radha and Krishna only through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can access the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only through the Goswami, six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And we can see in their character how the six Goswamis were like so much attached to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Sanatana Goswami was at Jagannath Puri, when he was coming back to Vrindavan, he actually inquired from Balabhadra Bhattacharya that I want to go by the same path by which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu travelled to Vrindavan. Because not only I just want to go to Vrindavan, but I also want to visit all the places which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited on the way to Vrindavan. So after inquiring from Balabhadra Bhattacharya, Sanatana Goswami travelled by the same route. So Prabhupada writes in their purport, a pure devotee of the Lord will want to spend time, will want to visit those places where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spent even 1 minute or 1 hour. So basically, as followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can actually enter this passage only through Radha Krishna Leela. As Prabhupada says, even if the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spent 1 minute or 1 second in a particular place, a pure devotee or a sincere devotee would want to visit that place and spend time there. Because that is how we can see from the example of Sanatana Goswami how he exhibited his attachment towards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So with this we will actually come to this verse. So here Krishna is actually telling to the gopis through Uddhava the actual reason why I, the beloved object of your sight, have stayed far away from you is that I wanted to intensify your meditation upon me and thus draw your minds closer to me. So here Krishna is actually telling that the reason why sometimes I do not reciprocate with you is that I want to actually intensify your devotion, I want to actually draw your minds closer to me. So if we see, in fact, this whole chapter and the previous chapter, we saw like so many wonderful devotees had spoken. We saw the different emotions exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan. And in this chapter especially, we saw the emotions exhibited by the topmost devotee of Krishna, that is Srimati Radharani. So when we talk about emotions, so here in the Bhagavatam, we see the display of spiritual emotions exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan. But in order for a person to exhibit the spiritual emotions, first a person has to get rid of the material emotions. Like for example, if we see the life of Chitraketu Maharaj in brief, I just want to highlight in regards to this emotions. If we see the life of Chitraketu Maharaj, how Chitraketu Maharaj was initially exhibiting the material emotions. So when we talk about material emotions, the predominant material emotions are hankering and lamentation, jubilation, being excited or being morose. So if we see the life of Chitraketu Maharaj, in the beginning, he was so much hankering for the sun that when Angira Rishi came and asked him, are you all right? Is everything going on properly? Are you happy in your life? Chitraketu Maharaj said, although I have a kingdom which is desired even by the demigods of heavenly planets, but still I am unhappy because of not having a son. So Chitraketu Maharaj's hankering was so much that he wanted to have a son because he wanted to create a proper legacy. So he married so many wives. In fact, he married like lakhs and like millions of wives, it's described. So that's how he was actually hankering to get a son. He was actually completely overwhelmed by this emotion of hankering. And later, because I will not narrate the whole story, and then how by the mercy of Angira Rishi he got a son, but then he said, but this son will be the cause of your happiness and also your distress. So he will be called as Harshashoka. So then when he got a son, he became so overwhelmed by the thought of by getting a son, that he became like, he was so much in jubilation that he forgot his duties. He forgot his duties towards taking care of his other queens. He paid only attention to this, his first queen who actually gave birth to the son. So initially he was overcome by hankering, and then he was completely overcome by jubilation. And then because of neglecting the other queens, and the other queens actually poisoned the son, and then the son died. And then when the son died, now he was actually overcome by the third emotion. He was actually overcome with the emotion of lamentation. When he heard that his son has died, it is described that when he came to that place, he was actually falling unconscious and then getting up and falling unconscious. And in this way, he was like completely in a state of deep sorrow and lamentation. And he was crying piteously. He was overcome by the third emotion of lamentation. Then at that time, Narada Muni and Angira Rishi arrive. And Narada Muni and Angira Rishi, they impart spiritual instructions to Chitraketu Maharaj. It is described in the Bhagavatam that by hearing the instructions of Narada Muni, Chitraketu Maharaj got a hope. Chitraketu Maharaj became hopeful. So then, so he became little sober. Then Narada Muni said, now I will give you a mantra by which you can worship the Supreme Lord. If you chant this mantra, in 7 days you will be able to see the Supreme Lord. Then he chanted the mantra. Within 7 days he got darshan of Lord Sankarshan. And then when he got darshan of Lord Sankarshan, by the blessings of Lord Sankarshan, he became the king of the Vidyadhara planets. He became the king of the Vidyadhara planets. And then it is described, now we see the other part of Chitraketu Maharaj after he became, we can see his spiritual emotions. When he became the king of the Vidyadhara planets, he was opulent, he had so much of opulences that he was actually going in an airplane surrounded by the beautiful women of Vidyadhara planets. Usually when a person is so opulent, when a person is surrounded by sense objects, a person gets carried away by that, and a person loses focus on devotional service. A person loses focus on the purpose of life. But here, Chitraketu Maharaj, although he was endowed with much more opulence, but now he was actually singing the glories of the Lord. That means here, there is even a greater cause for jubilation, but he did not actually come under the influence of jubilation, but he actually was focused on singing the glories of the Lord. And then we see later Chitraketu Maharaj, when he was actually cursed by Mother Parvati, because I'll not go into the details of the story, for although he did not actually commit a mistake, he had a good intention in regards to actually he wanted to the good intention he wanted to correct Lord Shiva, But Parvati did not actually understand his intention. Parvati Devi actually cursed Chitraketu Maharaj to become a man-eating demon. So now Chitraketu Maharaj, from the king of the Vidyadhara planets, he has been cursed to become a man-eating demon. So now there is a even more greater actually cause for lamentation. Previously, he just actually lost his son. But now, his whole identity has been reversed. So usually, the attachment towards me is actually greater than the attachment towards the mind, attachment towards the possessions. Earlier, he simply lost his son. But now, his identity was actually shaken. Like suppose somebody is the president of United States, and then next day he is told actually, now you have to become a peon. You have to become some very menial clerk or something like that. So such a thing, normally a conditioned soul cannot actually adapt himself to such a 180 degree shift in the designations. But now there is a even more greater cause for lamentation. But Chitraketu Maharaj, he exhibits such sobriety and equanimity, he did not at all get agitated. He says, Guna pravaha yetasmin kaha shoko kon anugraha. He says that in the fast moving river of waves of the material nature, what is a curse and what is a blessing? Kim sukam dukkam evava. He says that although he had the power to counter curse Parvati, but he accepted the curse with a grateful heart. So what actually made Chitraketu Maharaj, that who was previously hankering and lamenting and he was in great jubilation, now he could actually exhibit, how he could exhibit such equanimity, although there is a greater cause for jubilation and lamentation? What made the difference was the instructions which he heard from, the transcendental sound vibration which he heard from Narada Muni. And the attitude, the submissive attitude which he heard from Narada Muni, because of that, now there is a complete change in his emotions. So he was not at all affected by the material emotions. He exhibited such equanimity. And later we see Chitraketu Maharaj, when he became Vritrasur, in fact, he not only exhibited such equanimity, and when he was fighting with Indra, he was preaching to Indra to exhibit equanimity and perform his duty, not being affected by the moroseness. When Indra was actually losing in the battle, Chitraketu Maharaj speaks that famous, Vritrasur speaks that famous verse, Yud Satam Kutrachit Atataina. He says that there is only one person who is always victorious, the Supreme Personality of God. The conditioned soul is sometimes victorious, sometimes defeated according to his karma. So the conditioned soul simply should perform his duty without being affected by this so-called failure and defeat. So Prabhupada says, both pride in victory and moroseness in defeat, both are useless. So Chitraketu Maharaj, he not only exhibited equanimity, he had so much conviction that he was actually preaching Indra not to become morose and perform his duty without being affected by the moroseness. And later, Vritrasur, he speaks those famous prayers where he actually exhibits the spiritual emotions in which he actually displays his affection towards the Lord. Ajata paksha iva mataram kaga stanyam yata vatsatarakshudartha. Says that I am just waiting for, longing for that day, just like a baby bird is actually looking for the food being brought by the mother bird, or just like a calf is waiting for the milk from the cow, or just like a young wedded wife is waiting for the husband. Similarly, I am longing for that day when I will be actually united with you, when I will actually serve you. So in this way we see Chitraketu Maharaj, here is Vritrasur, or same Chitraketu Maharaj, same personality, is exhibiting the spiritual emotions. So this is the journey of a sadhaka, how from the material emotions, by hearing the transcendental sound vibration, he actually came to the platform of equanimity, where he did not get affected by the material emotions, and then how he actually exhibited spiritual emotions. So here in this chapter we see the topmost devotees of Krishna exhibiting the spiritual emotions to the highest degree. So in order to come to the platform of spiritual emotions, first actually we have to actually get rid of the material emotions. And that the main thing is, like, one has to hear the transcendental sound vibration. When a person pays oral reception to the transcendental sound vibration, then a person can actually overcome the material emotion, then a person can enter into the world of spiritual emotions. So here, in relation to this verse, I don't know how much we'll be able to discuss, but I want to discuss from the 10th canto, from the 32nd chapter, Krishna speaks a similar verse to the gopis in the Rasa Panchadhyay. So we see in the Rasa Panchadhyay, when the Krishna actually blew the flute, the gopis actually left their homes and they actually ran towards Krishna, hearing the flute sound of Krishna. Yes, I am just telling briefly. And then when the gopis came to meet Krishna, to their surprise, Krishna told them to actually go back. Krishna told them that, why did you come here in the middle of the night? Did you come here to pluck some flowers? This is not the right time to pluck flowers. And this is the place, this is not the right place, because at this time, the ferocious animals will be actually wandering in the forest. And moreover, your duty is to actually serve your husbands. So you better go back and serve your husbands. And the gopis actually did not expect this reply from the Krishna. And then, of course, they give a counter reply to Krishna. And they express their desire to Krishna. They tell Krishna, please accept us as your maid servants. And then when they reply, then Krishna actually accepts their proposal. And then Krishna was going along with the gopis in the forest of Vrindavan. He was having different exchanges with the gopis. And then when he was going in the forest, and suddenly Krishna actually disappeared from the midst of the gopis. So Krishna was going deeper and deeper into the forest, and suddenly, to their surprise, the gopis were thinking, oh, Krishna especially loves me so dearly. So to each gopi, Krishna gave such a feeling that Krishna loves only that particular gopi. And when the gopis were feeling little proud, of course, this pride is not like a pride which we actually experience in our life. This completely in the transcendental platform. And that time actually Krishna disappeared from the gopis. And then the gopis were actually frantically looking for Krishna in the middle of the forest. And they were asking the trees and creepers, and they were asking the mother earth, the deers, they were asking jasmine flowers, and so many different entities in the forest. And they were actually enacting the pastimes of Krishna. And then they encounter the footprints of Krishna. And then they actually start glorifying the footprints of Krishna. And then they see, and beside the footprints of Krishna, there is the footprints of Srimati Radharani. And then they see, they glorify, oh, this gopi must have performed, they must have perfectly worshipped Krishna. So when they were actually glorifying that gopi, that at that time, they actually see Srimati Radharani also, because Krishna actually abandoned all the gopis to be with Srimati Radharani. And then Krishna abandoned Srimati Radharani also. And then at that time, the gopis joined Srimati Radharani, and then they combinedly, they sing the gopi geet. And when they sing the gopi geet, it is described, the effect of the gopi geet on the forest was that the flowers, trees, birds and the forest creatures wilted in distress, and their tears transformed into waterfalls that nourished the silence. And they were actually singing the gopi geet, and finally Krishna returned to the gopis. So that is the chapter 32 of the 10th canto. So I'll just discuss briefly from this chapter. So when Krishna returned to the gopis, then all the flowers they actually blossomed. And the cuckoo sang sweetly on the fifth note. And the bees were actually humming very sweetly. And the peacocks were dancing very blissfully. So then, at this time, Krishna actually returned to the gopis with a broad smile. When the gopis were actually crying at the top of their voice. So when Krishna returned, so the gopis were very happy to receive Krishna. But the gopis were completely, they could not understand this unusual behavior exhibited by Krishna. And they were actually, they were shaken by this unusual behavior exhibited by Krishna. So what was that? Because the gopis, they had complete conviction in the quality of Krishna as Bhakta Vashyata, as one who actually comes under the prema of his devotees, love of his devotees. And they had experience of this quality of Krishna in so many occasions. But on this occasion, when the gopis, they had made their greatest sacrifice in their life, and when they came to meet Krishna, and Krishna had actually left them in the middle of the forest. And this unusual behavior was a big surprise to the gopis. Vishnu Chakra Thakur, in one of his purport, he actually highlights, he talks about the culture which is actually prevalent at that time, by which we can actually get a glimpse of the sacrifice made by the gopis. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur says that during that particular culture, the husbands, they would not allow even the dead bodies of their wives, or dead bodies of the women from their homes, to go alone out of their homes. So that was actually culture at that present. But here the gopis, they left all alone in the middle of the night, and that too a deep forest. So that was like a, it is something like, it is actually greater than committing a suicide, because they would be actually defamed, they would be criticized by the rest of the community. But they made their greatest sacrifice, but Krishna reciprocated in a completely disproportionate manner according to their sacrifice, in the sense that Krishna actually left the middle. Krishna first actually told them to go back instead of recognizing the sacrifice, and then to their even more greater surprise, and Krishna actually left them from the middle of the forest. So this was the unusual behavior and unexpected behavior of Krishna. So gopis are actually surprised by this behavior. So usually if we see, in the case of a conditioned soul, like our relationship with another living entity or another person, for a conditioned soul, it very much depends on the consistency of the dealings of the other person towards us. Like in the case of a conditioned soul, that although the other person may have consistently good dealings with us, but still one inconsistent dealing that may actually change our outlook towards the other person. We may forget all the past consistent good dealings of the other person towards us. So the gopis also had a similar feeling, because they felt like Krishna had exhibited so many consistently good dealings in the form of coming under their prema on so many occasions. But on this occasion, why did he exhibit such an inconsistent dealing? When we made the greatest of our sacrifice, why did he actually leave us in the middle of the night, from the middle of the forest? So this was something which they could not actually appreciate. So actually, of course, like we see in the example of Parikshit Maharaj. Like Parikshit Maharaj, he was actually saved by Krishna when he was there in the womb of his mother. But when he was actually cursed by Sringi, that time he did not actually think, why Krishna did not come to save me. Although Krishna is exhibiting an inconsistent dealing, that Krishna did not come to save Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj felt that this is actually the will of Krishna. So at that, when Parikshit Maharaj was there in the womb of his mother, when he was attacked by Brahmastra, that time Krishna's desire was that let Parikshit Maharaj be born let this Brahmastra be destroyed. But when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by Sringi, Krishna's desire was that let Parikshit Maharaj die and let Srimad Bhagavatam be born. And Parikshit Maharaj wanted to show to the whole world that better than living in this world is to leave this world by hearing Krishna Katha. He wanted to give this message through the example of Parikshit Maharaj, and Parikshit Maharaj adjusted himself to the will of Krishna. So here the gopis, although Krishna exhibited inconsistent dealing, Parikshit Maharaj could adjust that. But here the gopis, they could not understand why actually Krishna exhibited such inconsistent dealing. So we see that the verses which Krishna speaks, that actually shows what is there in Krishna's heart. That actually we can understand how Krishna's intentions are always pure. Like in one purport in the third canto, Prabhupada actually calls Krishna by the word Sukhruttama, the best of all well-wishers. So he says Krishna is called Sukhruttama because although the living entity is always forgetting Krishna, always rebellious towards Krishna, but still Krishna does not forget the living entity. That is why he regularly descends as different incarnations. So therefore he is called as Sukhruttama, the best of the well-wishers of the living entity. So what he is saying is that although the living entity is consistently rebellious towards Krishna, but the Supreme Lord is consistently exhibiting his well-wishing nature towards the living entity. So Krishna's activities might appear inconsistent, Krishna's actions might appear inconsistent, but his intentions are always consistent. His intentions are always pure, and his intentions are always consistent. He has always pure, consistent intentions. So that is, gopis had doubt about Krishna's intentions because of the actions of Krishna in leaving them in the middle of the forest. So then the gopis actually, they wanted to decide to ask Krishna in a paradoxical language as why actually Krishna reciprocated with them in the particular manner. So the gopis felt that Krishna has actually acted in an ungrateful manner. And they did not want to directly expose Krishna by saying you acted ungratefully. But they actually asked questions in a paradoxical language so that with the intention that Krishna will be exposed by his own words. It is described, the gopis felt that there can be no loss for us in this endeavor. We will ask the questions in a paradoxical language and Krishna alone will sink in the quicksand of his own honeyed words. When Krishna replies, he will only sink in the quicksand of his own words. So they felt that we will spin a web of questions in which Krishna will trap himself. And he will proclaim to the world the mystery of his misbehavior. So we see the gopis were actually simple village girls, but they possessed intelligence greater than that of goddess of Saraswati. And they asked questions in a humble manner, but in an assertive manner. They asked questions in a humble manner externally, but internally in a taunting manner, in a challenging attitude towards Krishna. So they asked Krishna that at present we cannot understand whether you are pleased with us, indifferent or hostile. We assume that one of these attitudes resides in you, but we are actually unable to understand which attitude actually resides in you, whether you are pleased with us or indifferent or hostile. So then the first question they ask is, is your love towards us motivated? Do you have a motivated love towards us? That, say, The nature of a motivated love is that a person will reciprocate with the other person only when the other person serves him. If the other person does not serve him, then he will not reciprocate with him. Means like, one will reciprocate the other person only when the person has is serving him or glorifying him. So gopis are asking, is your love towards us actually motivated? So Krishna was actually unperturbed by the conclusion of the gopis. With the slightest motion of his head, he acknowledged their words but awaited for their next question. So the gopis asked the first question, but they were feeling within their hearts, your love cannot be motivated. Because your love towards us cannot be motivated, because when a person has a motivated love, he will actually reciprocate with the other person who has made some sacrifice towards him. But we made so much of sacrifice towards you, but you actually did not reciprocate with us. You left us in the middle of the forest. So they were feeling, they asked the question and they were feeling within their heart, so therefore your love towards us cannot be motivated. So when Krishna was keeping quiet, waiting for the next question, and the gopis asked the next question. So they asked the next question, that just because your love is not motivated, that does not mean your love is actually unmotivated. So unmotivated love is actually the pure love. So unmotivated love means whether the other party is reciprocating or inimical or indifferent, still the person will always be reciprocating, serving him, pleasing him. So that is the nature of, there is no motivation on the part of the person. So that is a pure nature of love, that is unmotivated love. So one gopi, the first gopi asked that, is your love motivated? And Krishna was keeping quiet. The second gopi said, just because your love is actually not motivated, that does not mean that your love is unmotivated. Then she said, being independent, pure love does not require anyone's affection to propel it forward. Thus it is self-sufficient and self-luminous. But your love cannot be unmotivated. The reason is that we made so much of sacrifice and came to you, and you left us in the middle of the forest, and in separation from you, you are actually crying at the top of our voice. And then when you returned, you returned without even having a slight tear in your eyes. How did you manage to not have even a slight tear? And how is it that you manage without a single tear? So your love cannot be unmotivated. So they were actually asking this question now, that how is it that when you are crying at the top of the voice, you do not actually come back? You actually came back after a long time, and even when you came back, you were actually, instead of crying, instead of actually feeling sorry, you are smiling, and you did not have a single tear in your eyes. How did you manage that? How is it that you manage without a single tear? So when the gopis asked this question, it actually shook the whole Vrindavan forest, because this question was shaking the foundation of every living entity in Vrindavan, because this question is actually questioning the nature of Krishna's character, whether Krishna is having a motivated love or unmotivated love. Because the whole of Vrindavan is actually loving Krishna because they have complete faith that Krishna has so much of love towards them. But here, the topmost devotees of Krishna, they are actually questioning the nature of Krishna about whether Krishna is having unmotivated love towards them. How is it that you manage without a single tear? So when the gopis ask this question, the sound of their voice, it actually echoed throughout the night. In fact, all the 3 billion gopis, they had the same thoughts. They asked the same question to Krishna. So it actually echoed throughout the night. And when they asked this question, the Acharyas explained that every twig and creeper lived only by Krishna's love. Now the very foundation of their existence seemed as though it were being put into question by the greatest proponents of love. So the leaves of the Vrindavan forest, they actually turned to the flowers, asking, how is it that Krishna managed without a single tear? And the flowers did not have the answer. And the flowers turned towards the creepers, and they asked the same question. The creepers did not have the answer, and the creepers turned towards the trees. And the trees did not have the answer. The trees actually looked towards the sky, and they asked the sky the same question. And the sky turned towards the moon. Again, the moon did not have the answer, and the moon felt embarrassed, and the moon actually hid behind the cloud. And moon asked the cloud, how is it that Krishna managed without a single tear? And is Krishna's love unmotivated? And the clouds, with a curious thunder, they expressed that, I don't know the answer. And when the peacocks, when they heard this thunder of the clouds, the peacocks, in the form of the question from the thunder, the peacocks actually turned to their wives and they asked the same question. And the wives, the peahens, they did not have the answer, and they turned towards the parrots. And the parrots, again, they didn't have the answer, and they turned towards the deer. And the deer turned towards their husbands. So in this way, each and every living entity in Vrindavan, they were actually looking towards others, but none of them had the answer. And at that time, the waves of the Yamuna river, they were also asking the same question. How is it that Krishna actually managed without a single tear? Is Krishna's love unmotivated? And the waves were not having the answer, and waves were actually bubbling, and they were unable to move on. And because they were unable to move on, they began to flood the river's banks. So now there is an imminent calamity in Vrindavan forest. The whole Vrindavan forest is going to be like drowned by the waves of Yamuna. So Yogamaya understood the calamity of Vrindavan forest, and Yogamaya inspired another gopi to say. The other gopi said, therefore, it is obvious that, the other gopi told Krishna, so therefore it is obvious that your love towards us is not unmotivated. So your love cannot be unmotivated also. Your love is not pure also. So then, in this way, the gopis asked the second question, and then they asked the third question. When Krishna was not giving a reply, so they were asking the question, but within their heart, they were having the thoughts. Your love cannot be motivated, and your love cannot be unmotivated also. And then they asked the third question. So therefore, your love, then they ask, are you an indifferent lover, or are you a mischief maker, or are you a person who is senselessly hostile towards us, senselessly hostile towards others? So they asked the third question. So actually, they wanted to say, so they asked the question, are you actually a indifferent person? Indifferent person means, are you an Atma Rama who is self-satisfied? So they were asking this question, but within their heart they were thinking, you cannot be a self-satisfied person. Because in the case of an Atma Rama, he is actually completely self-satisfied. He does not reciprocate with anybody because he doesn't want to get entangled with by dealing with other people. He just wants to focus on Brahman. He just wants to get rid of any relationship with others. So such a spiritually self-satisfied person, we have appreciation towards such as Atma Rama. But in your case, you cannot be an Atma Rama, because there are previously many occasions you actually reciprocated with us. You had so many pastimes with us. So that shows that you are not an Atma Rama. But in the case of an Atma Rama, he never reciprocates, he never has any dealings with others. And we have appreciation towards such an Atma Rama. So they are asking the question, But within their heart, they were thinking, no, Krishna is not an Atmaram. And then they asked the next question. So if you are you an Atmarama or are you a mischief maker? So then they were thinking within their hearts, in the case of a mischief maker, a person actually does mischief towards others when the other party behaves in a inimical manner, or sometimes when the other party is not submissive, then sometimes a person does a mischief towards the other person. But in our case, we have never been unsubmissive towards you. We have been always submissive towards you. So therefore, there is no reason for you to exhibit such a mischievous behavior towards us. So they were thinking within their heart, so therefore you cannot be a mischief maker also. So they were asking the question, but they were thinking within their mind, are you a mischief maker? And then they were thinking within their mind, you cannot be a mischief maker because there is no cause for you to perform some mischief with us, because in our case they have been always submissive towards you. So then they want to actually come to the last part of the question. So then they want to actually ask question, so are you a person who is actually senselessly hostile towards others? So they were convinced that they were thinking that Krishna is a person who is actually senselessly hostile towards others. And they wanted the answer to come out from Krishna's mouth itself. So instead of telling from their mouth, they are actually asking in a paradoxical language. So we can see the culture of the gopis, that they were actually they were having doubt in Krishna, but at the same time they were asking in a submissive mood. So basically, we can, like, the mood of the gopis is that they felt that we sacrificed so much in order to actually come to please Krishna, putting so much of trust in Krishna, but Krishna committed a crime of breach of trust. So even in the courts, breach of trust is considered a great crime. Like in the sixth canto, it's explained that Vishnudutas are saying to Yamadutas in the Ajamil episode, when the Yamadutas came to punish Ajamil, take away Ajamil to hellish planets, the Vishnudutas say, common people, they put so much of faith in Yamaraj and his representatives, thinking that Yamaraj is a person who is actually representing religion. But you people, you are supposed to represent religion, you are taking away a sinless person. So people are putting trust upon you, but you are committing a breach of trust by taking a sinless person to the hellish planet. So Prabhupada says how breach of trust is a crime. So here the gopis were in one sense accusing Krishna of breach of trust. So then they are expecting for Krishna's reply. So at that time, I will just read out Krishna's reply and then we will quickly end the class. So Krishna replies to the gopis. This also the acharyas complain, acharyas actually comment in great detail. So Krishna, in essence, he says that I am neither an unmotivated lover, nor am I a motivated lover, and I do not even belong to the unmotivated lover. Because in the case of an unmotivated lover, he will reciprocate with the person irrespective of whether the person is inimical or serving him or glorifying him or indifferent. He says, I do not even come in the category of unmotivated lover. And then he says, I also do not come under the category of an indifferent person, or I do not come under the category of Atmarama, or I do not come under the category of Aptakama. So Atmarama is a person who is spiritually self-satisfied, because of that he does not reciprocate with anybody. And Aptakama is a person who is materially self-satisfied, because of that he does not reciprocate with anybody. And I do not come under the category of even Aptakama. And I am not even a person who is akritagya, ungrateful. An ungrateful person is a person who actually, although the other person is serving him, but a person does not recognize the help done by the other person, and he just goes on with his work. So Krishna says, I do not belong to the category of even akritajna. And then the last category, which gopis felt that Krishna belonged to this category, that is Gurudruha. Gurudruha means one who is inimical to the superiors. In the sense, like those who are sacrificed so much, like akritajna is a person who does not recognize the help rendered by the other person. Gurudruha is a person who actually who has hatred towards the other person who has sacrificed, who has made sacrifice towards him. So gopis felt that we made so much of sacrifice towards you, and you actually acted in a way of exhibiting hatred towards us. So they felt that Krishna belonged to that category. So Krishna says, I do not even belong to this category. So the gopis felt, by asking their questions, we are actually going to checkmate Krishna, and Krishna will actually admit, yes, I actually misbehaved with you. I actually behaved in a way of exhibiting senselessly enmity. I belong to the category of one who exhibits senseless hostility towards you. But Krishna said, I do not come under the category of any of these people. And the gopis were surprised. They felt, then to which category do you belong? So then Krishna says, the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of the living beings is that when they worship me, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. Then they become like a poor man. He gives an analogy. In the case of when a poor man suddenly gains some wealth, and then when he loses the wealth, then he constantly thinks about that wealth. So similarly, I actually, in reciprocating with the sincere devotees, I sometimes give experience of my form to that sincere devotee, and then I actually withdraw that form from him. And then that devotee, always thinking about that particular form, then he intensifies his devotion towards me, and then by that he advances more and more in the stages of love towards me. So in this way, the reason I do not immediately reciprocate to the devotee is that I want to intensify the devotion of the devotees towards me. So in this way, Krishna actually tells this to the gopis. And then Krishna says, my dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake you had rejected the authority of the worldly opinion of the Vedas and of your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment towards me. So at this point the gopis were asking the Krishna, okay, we understand if you want to increase the love of your sadhakas or even the siddha purushas who realize their constitutional position, you behave in this manner in the way of actually withdrawing your form from them in order to intensify their devotion. But in our case, we do not come under the category of sadhakas, and we neither come under the category of siddha purushas. We are actually your eternal associates. And why did you behave in a way you actually behave yourself with the sadhaka devotees or with the siddha purushas? Then Krishna said in response, I know you are all my eternal associates, but I behaved in the same manner as I behaved with the sadhakas. Although your love is already perfect, there is no reason for you to intensify your love, but still I behaved in the same way as I behaved with the other devotee, other sadhakas, is that because I want to actually glorify your position towards the other devotees. I want to glorify your glorify your love for the whole world. That is why I behaved in the same manner as I behaved with the sadhakas. So in this way we see that why I am saying, like taking this particular purport, is that Krishna sometimes appears not to reciprocate with a devotee, although a devotee is performing so much of devotional service, because Krishna wants to intensify his devotion towards him. Just like, I will conclude this example, just like sometimes a person is actually writing an exam, and the teacher has been helping the student throughout the year by teaching him. But on the day of the exam, he is going to the teacher, "Can you please tell me the answer for this exam?" But the teacher doesn't say anything. Teacher keeps quiet. But one may think, throughout the year you have been talking to me, you have been answering all the questions, but why are you actually not helping me at this time? So the teacher, that silence of the teacher, it does not show his hatred towards the student, but the silence of the teacher shows that the teacher actually wants to bring out the capability of the student. Teacher wants the student to grow in his ability, grow in his life. That is why he is keeping silent in order to actually make the student actually advance in the subject. So similarly, sometimes Krishna actually appears not to reciprocate in order to actually intensify the love of the devotee. So that's what is explained in this verse. So with this I'll end. I'm sorry that I spoke about subject matter which is beyond my realization, but I just took this opportunity to speak. So with this I'll end here. In this, beyond this time, not any questions. Grantharan Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.